With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. This is Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk. TNT.
Welcome, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk. TNT. I'm really glad to see a load of people already in the chat, chatting away, and I am happy to start a new day where we've got hopefully four guests all lined up, ready to come on and ready to teach us something new about something. Now, I might get a little bit depressing at the start. Hopefully I'll cheer up later on, but people are feeling as though their countries are being invaded. This is a fact. Whether they tell you or not, most folk are watching society change at high speed all around them. As the changes happen, people trust each other less, and slowly our societies are approaching collapse, whether we like it or not. Although the agenda demands it, people are not so keen to give up what makes them feel most comfortable, their communities. There is a clear cultural difference between large swathes of our society, and every time throughout history that this has been true, unrest has followed. Conflicts occur, and there is always societal reset at the end of it. Forcing such resets benefits those in power. This is projected out by the so-called Great Reset. Those who remain in control only do so because they're aware of these cycles and when they begin and when they end, enough so that they can manipulate them. We are just another bunch of disgruntled customers who are promised change yet only ever get the same over and over. I talk a lot about alternative structures, but creating viable structures will always be the main threat to those in power, so they never let significant change be enacted. But we can't give up, regardless of what they say. We will never put aside our want for freedom at the behest of the fascists and the communists that run society and are merging into each other as we speak. And the cycle which those in power worship already predict the outcome of our struggle. Gulags, concentration camps, jails, and genocide have not gone anywhere. However new we think we are and modern we believe we've become, it's all plastic and sparkles. It's all tech, which is indistinguishable from magic. And the messaging delivered to you 24 hours a day, it's all the same as it ever was and ever will be. Probably. Hopefully not. In fact, many of us already live in what we describe as a digital gulag. We already find ourselves sitting in the digital panopticon, looking from our circular cells at the one AI guard which is watching our every move. That infrastructure makes us unhealthy in body, mind, and in spirit. We are losing control over certain aspects of our existence, which we used to take for granted, and realizing that we are no longer in control will manifest in each one of our everyday lives in a variety of different ways. You know this to be true because it's happening to you right now. As we tend to lose hope, the behaviors which come from deep within arise. Sometimes they manifest as someone who drinks too much or someone who has taken too many drugs. Sometimes it manifests in arguments in the home, sometimes in conflicts at work. It may start with just shouting at the television or at the car stuck in traffic or one of the many other things which tend to annoy us humans. As we lose control in these ways, we must quickly snap out of it because we can't prevent most of what's happening. We can't stop financial systems being imploded on purpose or emergency measures being enacted. We can't prevent such major events from ruining our society. However, we can take control over our own actions. I know that is easier said than done, but the only real control we have left to exact is over ourselves, our behaviors, and how we cope with the situational pressures that are coming towards us at high speed. Sure, we can lobby and cajole our politicians into taking positive actions. Yes, we can fight against tyranny and refuse to adopt certain measures, but they will all have limited effect. All we really control is ourselves, our sovereignty, and the way we interact with each other. And as we learn to have self-control, we also inspire others to do the same. The powers that be remain in power only because we have relinquished our control over ourselves. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about the digital panopticon in the second hour. But for now, the Weekend True Festival is almost upon us, literally days away. If you would like to see all your favorite freedom fighters on one stage across one weekend, then listen up, my friends. The Weekend True Festival will feature speakers such as Katie Hopkins, Kate Shemarani, yes, I got it first time, Dolores Cahill, Matt Letizia, Mark Atwood, David Clues, Allegedly Dave, Sovereign Pete, and many others. All of this across one weekend on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of May in Workington near the Lake District in the UK. And the Lake District is gorgeous, well worth a visit. All you need to bring is a tent, a sleeping bag, some good vibes, food stalls, workshops, bushcraft, and amenities will be provided on site. For more information and to find out how to reserve your place at the festival, please visit weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. But don't hang around because only a limited number of places are still available. And did you know there are many ways you could listen to TNT? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store. We even stream live on YouTube, I don't know what that is, Rumble, and X. We've got you covered on TNT.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So, on Monday, the Biden administration officially accused 5 Israeli Defense Force IDF units of committing gross violations of human rights before the current conflict with Hamas. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Tell us more, Ruckus.
Absolutely. Okay, so this is interesting timing, all things considered, because I did notice that the other thing happening in the news today was some discussion about the ICC, the International Criminal Court. They want to pursue Bibi Netanyahu and a few others. And, you know, they're like, yeah, you know, we're not recognizing that. We have nothing to do with that. The U.S. is, they don't want anything to do with that. But at the same time, just yesterday, they came out and have made this accusation that says at least 5 units within the IDF have committed gross violations, not just violations, but gross violations of human rights. And again, as you indicated, this is prior to the latest war with Hamas. However, Washington has no plans, at least at this moment, to impose any sanctions or restrict military aid to West Jerusalem. So let that sink in for a minute. Like, okay, we know we're accusing you of performing gross human rights violations, but we're going to keep providing you with all the stuff. Anyway, so Monday's announcement marks the first time that Washington has leveled such accusations against Israeli troops. All of the allegations stem from incidents that occurred in the West Bank long before the Israel-Hamas war began in Gaza last October, which started in a vacuum, I might remind folks. Anyways, just saying, all of the accused Israeli units remain eligible for American aid, despite a law prohibiting the United States from providing weapons or other assistance to groups that are found to have committed human rights violations with impunity. Hey, you know, they are a close ally and all that. The Biden administration remains in compliance with the so-called Leahy Law because Israel has taken action against most of the units accused of wrongdoing. That is what State Department Deputy Spokesman Vedant Patel told reporters in Washington without identifying any of the units by name. And we are going to quote from him. This is Mr. Patel, quote, four of these units have effectively remediated these violations, which is what we expect partners to do, end quote. As for the fifth unit, the spokesman said U.S. officials are consulting with their Israeli counterparts on addressing the abuses. Quote, we are engaging with them in a process and we will make an ultimate decision when it comes to that unit when that process is complete, end quote. The State Department offered no information on what actions were taken by the Israeli government. Asked why, the department had waited for 10 days to disclose its findings against Israel, Patel cited a quote-unquote ongoing process. He added, quote, if at any point remediation efforts or things like that are found to be inconsistent with the standards that we find, there, of course, will be a restriction on applicable U.S. assistance. We intend to be an administration that's going to follow the laws prescribed, end quote. Media reports said that the alleged abuses included, quote unquote, extrajudicial killings by Israeli border police, as well as torture and rape. Another case involved an elderly Palestinian-American man who died after being bound and gagged at a West Bank checkpoint. The battalion involved in that incident, Netzah Yehuda, was formed in 1999 to accommodate ultra-Orthodox Jews and other religious nationalists in the Israeli army, and it was transferred to the Golan Heights from the West Bank in 2022. So I'm not sure how well the protesters across the campuses and around the world are going to take this news, Johnny, but what say you, my friend?
Yeah, it sounds like what they're trying to do is say, look, we're doing something about these human rights violations by the IDF, but we're not going to touch any of the ones that have happened since October 7th. We're going to try and touch the ones that are distant enough so we can say, oh, look. Look, we're supporting the human rights of the Palestinian people, and we're the good guys, except after October 7th, everything changes, the narrative changes, so it doesn't matter now. And I do see this as just, it's always going to be too little too late, but this is obviously the Biden administration trying to look like they can or have an excuse to say, oh no, we hold these people to account, when they don't hold anybody to account at all. And it's not a surprise because, you know, that this has happened because we know that the IDF have been committing crimes against humanity since its creation and its inception. We know that the original taking of Palestine was really included a lot of crimes against humanity that the world chose to ignore. The population there remember it very well, the Nakba. They know exactly the crimes and atrocities that were committed, but everybody else ignores it. You see, we're only allowed to look at the crimes against humanity that are acceptable to look at, not the 99.999%. And the 99.999% just look like what America is doing in every other country all around the world. Is there any, I mean, they were saying extrajudicial killing. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? Murdering people is possibly the most serious thing you could do, but it was a range of things. I can't understand why they'd be doing it now, but is there actually any detail other than just those crimes that they were meant to commit, Ruckus? Is there any further details, or is that going to come out after the investigation?
Certainly not coming from the State Department or the official announcement from Washington. The little that I did find about the name of the one unit and their particular atrocities came courtesy of reporting from RT. So you got to do some digging. There are outlets out there who went a little further. But yes, again, the official statements don't name any of the organizations that have already been, quote unquote, remediated courtesy of Israel. It's also, I can't see in any of the reports, because, you know, they keep such things tight-lipped, what the actual remediations were that Israel allegedly did against the accused units, the four of them at least. And they're in the middle of remediating the fifth, supposedly. I'm just shocked that, you know, they're being accused of doing the same things that now being blasted nonstop in the media to try to, you know, make, you know, Palestinians look bad. They're like, they're showing all of the alleged rape and torture from the Hamas soldiers from that incident, right, on October 7th. And I saw they even have it like blasting on a video screen to where the protesters can see this all day long while they're out there trying to protest. So they have to see these, you know, the Hamas performing torture and rape. So everybody can condemn torture and rape. I can condemn torture and rape, but apparently it's only like condemnable on one side versus the other. And that's ridiculous. Wherever it comes from, torture and rape should be condemned, period.
Completely agreed. I'm not a big fan of this whole separating up these two sides as the bad things they do as being morally or ethically different in some way. It all feels like the same sort of torture and rape to me. It all seems like the same sort of extrajudicial murdering to me. And I mean, an eye for an eye, you know, we've always kind of lived by that principle in that region more than any other. And I think all of Israel's actions have been really justified by that one idea of an eye for an eye. It's terrible stuff. Anyway, thanks for bringing us the news. Come back in the second hour and tell us some more bad news, would you, Ruckus?
Absolutely. We'll see you then.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
TNT's Dirk Pohlman.
Tell us what happened on this during this Congress that you tried to have to take place in Berlin, but you were not really successful because our police intervened and some people from the interior minister cursed them.
It was quite hysterical. You know, this level of rhetorical escalation, and then also politicians in Berlin saying that this should be banned. And in fact, you know, that wouldn't have been legal. There were no legal grounds for a ban. And, but it was clear that if they couldn't ban it, they could still find other ways to prevent it. One of these ways was by freezing our bank account. So freezing Jewish Voices bank account, because our account was being used to gather the funds for it.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Come on, let the man talk.
We never censor our hosts.
Good. Now, talk.
Uncensored news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. My first guest up on this edition of the Johnny Vedmore Show is a lady who goes by the name Gamma Ray. Gamma is a gaming streamer, podcast content creator who founded a community of women who work together to bring awareness to those who are not quite awake yet. On her podcast, Gamma shares her knowledge and provides evidence, sources, and resources to those who have finally woken up, and it takes a little bit of time for these people to wake up. You can follow on X at Raise Gamma, that's R-A-E-S Gamma, G-A-M-M-A, and her podcast online at exposethecult.com. Hello there, welcome to the Johnny Vedmore Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm really happy to be speaking to someone new, especially. I always like speaking to newcomers onto my realm. So let's start off. What was your journey like from becoming from a mother to becoming a women's rights activist? What happened? Why did that journey unfold like it did?
So COVID happened and I started streaming video games because I've been a gamer for my whole life, right? And I started streaming. I started building a small community, nothing major, but you know, it was fun. And then a couple years down the line, last year specifically, so we're talking 3 years in, I started playing Hogwarts Legacy. And I had people say, I can't watch your streams when you play this game because J.K. Rowling is a transphobe. And I said, what? And they said, you have to look at the tweets. And I looked at the tweets and I said, I don't see anything wrong with these tweets. And they said, well, then what? You don't want to be called cis either? And I said, well, no, because I'm just a woman. I'm not a cis anything. Why do I need to be a subcategory of a woman? And that led me down the, well, you're a TERF. What's a TERF? Rabbit hole. And I learned that this is a trans exclusionary radical feminist. I dub myself, like I proudly wear the crown of TERF because this is what the cult calls me. And so the content that I make is explicitly to use their language and words against them, right? For instance, I had a video that went viral for me on X and on TikTok as well, on my now since banned account on TikTok, in which there was a trans woman who went to meet a 6-year-old girl or 6 or 9-year-old girl and wanted just talked about making out with her. Like, oh, there's nothing wrong with kisses. This is a man who identifies as a trans woman. And everybody in the comments, these trans right activists who sit there and say things like, oh, well, that's not really a trans woman. So when are they really a trans woman? When are we supposed to believe when they say that they feel like they're trans, so they are trans, they've had the surgeries. Well, this trans-identified male, which is what we refer to trans women as, right? So this trans-identified male had augmented breasts, had the hormones, appeared to be as a female, but this was clearly a man who went to go meet a minor and wanted to participate in salacious acts with this child, right? And when are we supposed to be drawing the line? I, as a woman, am more than just a feeling of a flittering moment of wanting to be a woman. And so I speak to those things. It is hypocritical to sit there and say that we must accept anyone who says they're trans when they say they're trans, and then to deny the transness of an individual who steps out of the line, right? And yeah. On my podcast, I talk about like 1984. So George Orwell, and there's two quotes from that stands for me and how I try to address this issue. So the first is, whatever the party holds to be the truth is truth. It is impossible to see reality except by looking through the eyes of the party. And there is a second quote that states, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And for myself, the content that I post, and women like J.K. Rowling, Kelly J. Keene, Riley Gaines, April Hutchinson, all of them I view as revolutionary in a time where women's rights are being stripped and men who feel like they are women are being prioritized over our safety and our sanctity. And that's not okay with me. So, yeah.
Yeah. I would say that, you know, you said at the beginning, you're just a woman who does these things. There's no such thing as just a woman. Oh, my Lord. Right. I've had two older sisters. There they are. They, you know, clip around the ear if I said such a thing. Because, you know, equality is important. But understanding what equality means when we both have, like, those gender-specific roles has led to the whole of society being confused, I feel. And I dig your journey. I completely... Kelly J. Keene is really just one of, like, my favorite women in the British media.
Mine too.
For alternative media, she does not take any crap from anybody, and I really do appreciate that. My audience will know, and we don't have to get bogged down in this. I'm not a big fan of J.K. Rowling, not because of any stance that she's taken. Well, some of them, but rather that she's kind of like down with the establishment. And I always suspicious of the people who are really like, you know, who have being like things like World Economic Forum, young global leaders, and then become public commentators, because often they drive conversation their way. But I completely agree. You know, you should be able to play whatever game you want, read whatever book you want, and not feel that you're associated with the person or you're associated with all the views of the people. And this is a very simple thing, isn't it? Ooh, you're watching this, or you're listening to this, or you're doing this. That makes you... Everything that person who created this is, that is just completely and utterly ridiculous. So I'm really glad to hear your explanation was just like perfect. And lots of the people in the chat are currently, you know, they're saying exactly the same thing. They're saying, what makes trans people trans? Well, they've cut parts of them off. That's what makes them trans. It doesn't really
Not even. People, the thing is, women are being impregnated in prisons around the world, right? By men who say that they're women. For instance, Luca Mignotta. Have you ever heard of Don't F with Cats, right? The documentary? Well, it's explicit, right? The second word. But Don't F with Cats is about a man who went online and tortured cats. And then he ended up killing a man and like mailing parts around Canada. Well, they took this guy who went to prison for this is now being in reduced minimum security prison because he now identifies as a trans woman. And then the next step would be maybe I go into a female prison because that's where I want to be instead. Right. But we're talking about, I believe in the UK, the last time I checked the stat, roughly 70% of trans identified males who identified as trans women and were placed into women's prisons or attempting to be placed have a history of violence and sexual assault against women. And that is not okay. And they don't have surgery.
You've hit the nail on the head. That's one of the key main problems, is that they can just say, this is me. Now put me in with the people who you should be protecting me from. And it is insanity personified. Listen, we got to take a quick news break. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
Real news.
Don't get it confused. TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Beijing has responded sharply to new U.S. legislation that counters Chinese influence, including an $8 billion investment in Indo-Pacific security and a potential TikTok ban, warning of forceful retaliation if the U.S. does not reverse these actions. Moldovan authorities have warned against wearing St. George's ribbon during World War II Victory Day celebrations, branding it a symbol of aggression. The Russian Defense Ministry claims to have destroyed a U.S.-made M1 Abrams tank near Avdiivka in the Donbass region.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show. I'm here with Gamma Ray. Listen, you host a podcast called Exposing the Cult, which is a brilliant name. You got exposethecult.com, which is a very good website handle as well. How has that been for you so far? What do you use the platform for, and where do you want it to go? What type of thing do you want to create into?
So last year, I sat down and I cranked out about 20 hours worth of content. So I did a whole season and then I took a break. So I'm actually planning on doing another season of Expose the Cult. I plan to do this within the next month. I'm going to start recording and cranking them out for the summer. And I think that it's a healthy way to handle that amount of research and that amount of editing, producing, cranking out content, right? And I do things as well in the background. So this next season, I want to talk about the things that happened this last year, the cast review, WPATH files, Tickle versus Giggle, which if you're unaware, that is the case in Australia of Sal Grover being sued by Mr. Giggle because she has a business that she wanted to establish as women only accessing the platform, and he is upset that he is not permitted to be a part of it. So I haven't seen the results of that come out. Maybe I missed something, but I am going to check again after this now. But in the background, aside from working on Expose the Cult, I have done work for the Red Tent Collective, which is a group of women that I met after I peaked in March of last year. We kind of found each other in this cannon fodder of the online battleground. And we were like, we need to do something. What can we do? Right. So because there are so many trans right activists out here, mass reporting women, doxing us, getting us fired from our jobs, things like that, this huge culture war. And they've got so many technological advantages over maybe a house mom who really doesn't understand VPN or how to protect your website or how to, you know, get your boots on the ground and maybe make a little more money from your side business because you've just lost your corporate job because now you've been doxed and let go for having a belief that men are men and women are women. Yeah. What we do is we help them get reestablished online. So we help women rebuild, maybe build a website, get their own merchandise going, use the momentum of the support from women who've seen them fall, rise again from the ashes, right? And aside from that, we work with other women's organizations and we facilitate in the same way with making sure that they can fight this battle against the billion-dollar funded ideological gender ideology being pushed onto all of us.
Isn't it amazing how much money these people get? And I find it really interesting that I don't know why you called it the Red Tent Collect. I'm very interested by that because I've done a lot of work on the feminist movement of the past. I see the protest movement rise nowadays against this trans ideology, which bears a lot of resemblance. And of course, I've done a lot of work on the Red Stockings movement as well. I'm very interested about why you chose the name Red Tent Collective for that.
So there is a history of the Red Tent, essentially, and I believe it's more of like a Native thing, right? So maybe a little more Native American or Native, you know, Native Canadians, what have you. So essentially, centuries ago, when a young girl would come into womanhood, she would join the older women in the grown women in the red tent, right? And once a month, they'd, you know, so it was a thing for women who essentially were growing from young girls into womanhood to be a part of the society of elders in their community of women. And so at the Red Tent Collective, we were like, okay, well, I peaked a year ago. I just peaked 6 months ago. There's eight of us. We're in Germany, the UK, America, Canada. We're all over. And the idea is that when women peak and they're ready, we're willing to take them in and kind of help them and guide them and do what we can to facilitate with getting their feet on the ground. Because women like myself, we lose either family or friendships because we will not succumb to this ideology that tells us we are not allowed to believe in the differences between men and women. What's sad about this ideology is they say, well, you just reduce yourself to your uterus. But actually, all that the ideology has done is reduced us to that. We never had to talk about those things, right? You mentioned earlier gender roles, doing dishes, mowing the lawn, these things, right? There is no reason. I have a 3-year-old. He turns 3 in June. If my son picked up a pink unicorn, it does not mean that my son should be a little girl or raised as such. Okay. This is absolutely a sexist view on how to raise your child. And that's what these people are doing. And it's sad for me to look and in retrospect at the parents, because down the line, the parents who trans their children can never, ever, ever allow themselves to believe that they were wrong in doing so because they will not be able to forgive themselves.
And so some of them have gone very, very far indeed. They have gone all of the way. And now, I mean, I've spoken to a few detransitioners on the show as well. People who say, you know, one lady especially who's just completely and utterly compelling story, and is clearly was told when she was a teenager that, oh no, all of this is normal and this is how life is. And you know, if a teenager is told that this is how the world is, they'll go with it, because that's, they trust the elders. Listen, we got a minute left, so can you tell me what been the most difficult parts of this fight against trans right activists?
Legislation has been the most difficult, because they're constantly protesting and preventing us from implementing anything. You know, bills get squashed before they make it to parliament and things like that. So when they call these anti-trans laws, but they're not anti-trans laws, they're fighting against ideologies. They're protecting women and girls, and it's meant to protect parents and their rights from them being taken away. Actually, within the next 30 minutes after I end with you today, at the Red Tent Co. on X, we are going to be releasing something. I can't say for where yet, but you'll know at that time when we release it. We're releasing a video about something legislative that's going to be implemented in one of these countries that is fighting against women and children's rights. So we will be releasing that. And this is a huge legislative moment, and we are hopeful for it. It's been under wraps because, again, those trans right activists do try to protest with all their might.
Yeah, indeed. Well, keep up the good work, Gamma. I'll just finish off with Wild Eva in the chat saying, parents who let their kids be mutilated, special place in hell for them. There you go. Thanks for coming on, and good luck with everything in the future. I'm sure we'll speak again soon, and you'll come back on the show again some other time to tell us how your push towards getting some legislation enacted goes. I'd like that.
Thank you, Johnny. It was a pleasure.
Excellent. Perfect. All right. Well, in that case, let's go to a quick advert break. You're watching the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT.
From weather and traffic reports
to news of political developments,
we turn to journalists for the information we need to live our daily lives.
Journalists around the world provide the news that is essential for democracy,
for personal freedom, and for safety and stability.
Yet their ability to report freely and safely is under attack like never before.
So many journalists are paying with their lives.
They face exponential risks, and they've already paid a heavy toll.
Death threats, online harassment, and physical attacks
are becoming a daily experience of journalists in all countries.
We just want people to be safe, to be able to get our readers the information that they need to make informed decisions.
They checked my phone and realized that it was Pegasus. I feel myself like I'm naked at the street.
These charges were politicized from the start.
Facts win. Truth wins. Justice wins.
C'est énorme pour moi d'être là, d'être libre, surtout que je m'y attendais pas du tout.
Stand with a free press.
Stand with journalists whose reporting won't be silenced. Press freedom is your freedom.
When the world's endangered animals need help most, when their lives are at greatest risk, when they would otherwise be lost, the International Fund for Animal Welfare is there, taking action to rescue the animals we love, to protect them and their threatened natural habitats. See how you can help animals and people thrive together at joinifall.org.
This is Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show. My next guest, JJ Carell, is a speaker and author of Invaded, the Intentional Destruction of the American Immigration System. Sounds about right. Using his 24 years in the U.S. Border Patrol, his experience there, JJ exposes who, why, and how this treason against America is being perpetrated. He has been a guest on several nationally syndicated radio shows and television networks. He is unafraid to speak the truth about the crimes being committed by the Biden and his administration and Department of Homeland Security machine. You can follow him on X at JJ Carell. Carell is C-A-R-R-E-L-L 14, or visit his website at jjcarell.com. Mr. Carell, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, I'm really happy to be speaking with you about a subject that I've talked to a few people about now. And I mean, we share the same worries in nearly every country across the world at the moment. You know, immigration, uncontrolled economic migrants are being pushed onto every single country in the Western world at the moment. It's obviously an agenda going on. So I was talking in my opening monologue about how hard it is to reverse policies which are enacted now. Do you think it's already too late to keep America the way it was before the invasion of economic migrants?
I think that's a great question. And you hate to be the guy that black pills, because America is so great. We didn't become great out of happenstance or just by luck. We did it because of hard work and determination. So I think everything that has happened can be reversed. However, the farther we go down this slippery slope of treason, and I believe it's absolutely treason, I can explain it and back up my allegation. The farther we go down this treason, the bloodier and the more difficult and more pain is going to take to bring us back to normal. Listen, at the end of Joe Biden's term, in 8 months, he will have allowed in somewhere between 25 and 30 million illegal aliens. We are now looking at, this is in congressional testimony, that finally they're admitting what the true number is. The true number of illegal aliens in America is now at 45 million. Some people believe it is closer to 50 million. So that is almost 15% of our total population is illegal aliens, costing us hundreds of billions of dollars. We're probably eclipsing $500 billion in total payments and subsidies to illegal aliens as Americans suffer. And I believe this is treason. I believe the reason why I believe it is treason is because the federal government has fundamentally destroyed the American immigration system, because they're using that as a vehicle to bring in tens of millions of illegal aliens to fundamentally transform the United States of America. It's undeniable. And when I have interviews like this and people push back, my very first question is, I'm going to give you all the data. And it's undeniable. I'm going to use DHS data to prove my points, which I still believe are liars, and they segment their data. How do I know? Because I lived it for 24 years. I know exactly what's going on. And my question always is, if you don't believe my conclusion to all this, then why don't you tell me what the hell's going on? Why would the federal government facilitate 30 million people to come into America? We have no idea who they are. 60 to 70% of the 30 million are single adult military age men from the continent of Africa, from the Middle East, from Venezuela, from Haiti. How do you think they're going to assimilate into America? Are you that naive? And again, I come back with the same question. What is going on if you don't believe that my conclusion of treason and intentionality and strategic movement of tens of millions of people into America? And there is never an answer, Johnny. It's always dead air and silence, which, as you know, in radio and podcasting is a nightmare. A second of dead air seems like a minute. A minute feels like eternity. So I just let it hang. And we'll just suffer in that 10 to 15 seconds of utter silence because you do not have an answer. Then you have to ask, if you don't have an answer, at least you would be intellectually honest or curious to look in to why I think I have an answer, but we don't. This is the intentional destruction of America. It's happening in real time.
Yeah, I listen. I'm with you. I agree completely, but I still like to push back here and there and ask questions.
Yes, so please.
I'm definitely gonna say, like, do you think that the economic migration that the country is currently experiencing, and I'm talking mainly about America here now, I'm not talking about the rest of the world, is experiencing today is different from the economic migration which saw America founded in the first place?
Yes, because the idea that we're a nation of immigrants, we're a nation of citizens of America. You don't import 30 million people that have no loyalty to America, none, can't speak the language. 50% of everyone that comes across the border is illiterate in their own language, no skills, no ability to assimilate. How does that work for America? It doesn't. This idea that we have to, as America and Americans, follow a statue called the Statue of Liberty that has some writings on the base of the pedestal. No, we follow the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's a beautiful statue. It has great symbolism, but that doesn't run our country. We don't take in the poor and the weak and the miserable. No, we don't. We take in people that want to come to America legally. And I think this is a very great point that I would like to go into, is as we continue on this discussion, Johnny, we're not talking about legal immigrants. Legal immigrants and legal immigration is incredible. Some of the greatest patriots that we have are naturalized citizens. We're not talking about that. There's 1.2 million that we bring in legally every year. We're talking about 30 million illegal immigrants that destroy everything that legal immigrants want to accomplish in America, because they push them in the back of the line. They never attain the American dream because their wages are destroyed. Crime is rampant across America. Rapes, murders, child rapes from illegal aliens against United States citizens has skyrocketed into unaccountable numbers. I do this for a living. I can't keep track of the number of murders and rapists in America from illegal alien nations.
I was just going to quickly say that, you know, to add to the question I actually asked about the, you know, how is this different? I would say that there was a lot of people who originally came to America with a vision of creating a new society, which America became. So that was creating, working together, combining, having a shared goal, shared ethics, a shared idea of freedom from repressed societies, such as experienced by people who had lived under and were fleeing the English Civil War and other such events in Western Europe. So there's a lot of difference, and it's about the amount of availability of resources as well, because that was a long time ago where resources were heavily available, and now is a lot different, and there's a fight, of course. And I really want to touch on the fighting aspect, because what happens when America becomes too divided? Do you think that we're heading towards something that looks like it could spark into a second American Civil War?
I do, and the more people I speak to that have greater access to intelligence and information than I do, agree. Now, will it look like the Confederates versus the Union and we line up in different colored jackets and coats? No, it's going to be, I don't know what it would look like, to be honest. I just don't. But I know that we're hurtling to that.
Yeah,
listen, the federal government has created this problem, Johnny. And to go back to your other question about the people coming to America, let me make sure everyone understands what the federal government has created is a slave class of labor. All of these illegal aliens that are in the country and they're given asylum seeking status and paroled in, they are paroled into America under a certain specific amount of time, anywhere from 60 days to 6 months. Once they time out, meaning they can't see the immigration judge or asylum officer, which asylum cases are 3.5 years, 10 years backlog, 3.5 million cases backlog. They become, in my terms, in my job, called out of status, which in layman's terms becomes illegal aliens. They have no work authorization documents. It's not like migrants in the past that came here legally, were able to work and provide and build America. We're talking about illegal aliens that now become slave labor. They can't work in America legally, so they will work for half the wage. That is what our federal government has created.
No,
and there are scarce resources.
Yeah, there's. I was speaking with Hernando Arce last week, who interviews people on the border. He's a great fella. I like him very much. And he was telling me about how they're giving people work permits. They're trying to get around all of these things. When you argue against it and say, and you, JJ, say, oh, you know, they don't have work permits, what will they do? They will make them have some form of work permit so that they can say, ah, look, your argument isn't true. They do have work permits, but they're not legally obtained as we're used to them. And I just want to mention over in the chat, you know, Little Carol says, yes, 100% the same here in the UK. And there's loads of different people. Penelope Pitstop's Ghost says, do you think they need to take down America, which would mean the entire Western world collapses? Because that's what we think over in Britain as well. We think the assault on a lot of the migration in America is being pushed so that America will falter. And of course, when America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. And Wild Heather saying, we all know, we know all this rampant illegal immigration is planned. Are we taking the bait by reacting in a hostile way? They want us all to kick off. I don't have an answer, but it's always good to look at the motives, take a step back and try and get ahead of what they're pushing at us. And I do agree with you, JJ, when you say this is no longer going to be like, you know, the red versus the blue, you know, something as simple as that. If it's honest and fair, if it was an honest and fair second civil war, then, well, the Democrats wouldn't last long in such a system because they've taken away all of the guns, or they're trying to take away all of the guns. So I don't even see how they would possibly work it. What do you think about that feeling that they're trying to create something, and so that must be part of the agenda, is to push us towards a war?
I absolutely believe this is intentional. I write, that's in my book, The Intentional Destruction of America and the Immigration System. And why I say that, Johnny, is because I lived in DHS. I rose up to the high ranks in the Border Patrol. So I know policy, law. I understand how they're doing what they're doing inside DHS. This isn't bad policy. This isn't Joe Biden having dementia and making bad decisions. This is strategic. They have manipulated and bastardized every immigration policy. They have ignored law. They have created things out of whole cloth. And now there's complete and utter chaos on the borders. They have partnered with non-governmental organizations, NGOs, to the tune of hundreds of billions, not millions, hundreds of billions of dollars to transport 30 million people into America, give them all the resources you have. And I'm going to tell you who's going to be hurt. America's going to be hurt across the board, but the number one group's going to be hurt the most, inner city Black Americans. And you're seeing it in New York and Chicago, just as an example. They have rediverted all their funds in Chicago and New York to illegal alien foreigners, building them brand new homeless shelters, while our brothers and sisters in America are sleeping on the streets, living in, going to homeless shelters that are subpar human conditions. But we are going to spend all of our money for illegal immigrants. And you made a great point. What does that look like when those men and women that are in America, mainly men from Haiti, Venezuela, from nations that their weapon of choice is two things, machetes and rape. That's how they control their population. How does 30 million single adult military age men that hate America turn on America, and America is fat, lazy, and soft? The men are. It's already proven. We're an obese country, and we're soft, impotent, and weak. And men that used to raping women and using machetes to hack each other. How does that work when they walk into Starbucks and there's 10 men there that haven't lifted a weight in about 20 years, and they have, and they don't even know if they're a man or not. They're transitioning. How does that work in our society that we are so weak versus nations that are war-torn, that have seen atrocities and have partaken in atrocities that we can only see in movies? This is not going to end well. It doesn't matter if, look, you don't have to like me, Johnny. You don't have to like that I have a black shirt or the way I do my hair. The truth is the truth. The data is clear. It's very simple to see. This is where we're going. We're hurtling to destruction.
Yeah, I like your black shirt myself, mainly because I'm wearing one too. just as we in the last, we got literally about a minute left. Do you think any of the candidates in 2024 election can permanently stop this agenda?
I do, because I watched him stop it the first time, and that's Donald J. Trump. You don't have to like him. I love him. I think he is exactly what we need. In 24-year career, I was losing under Republican and Democrat presidents, all of them. However, for the first time in my career, we were within 6 months of having the complete border secured and shut down under Donald Trump, the greatest border president in the history of the United States of America. End of discussion. That's the only guy that I could see that can change it.
Awesome. JJ Carell, you are the man. I hope you can join me again on the Johnny Vedmore Show sometime and we can go through things in a bit more detail.
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. So, excellent, people. Thanks for being involved in the chat as well. I noticed a load of people there are talking. A lot of the British people are saying, I would have a gun if I could have a gun. Penelope Pitstop goes to saying that because they know what's coming. They know there's an agenda coming, and it will be what JJ is saying there, you know, military-aged males who are, you know, war, they've been through war, they've been through conflict, and they're looking for something, a little something, something for them. Listen, thanks for sticking with me on the Johnny Vedmore Show, everybody. Why not go to tntradio.live and get in that chat and ask a question or two for the next guest. We're going to go to dive deep again when we return on today's News Talk TNT.